Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough are exhausted. 28 cookbooks published in 16 years with more on the way. That's over 12,000 original recipes tested and written, a million hours at the table, and a billion hours on the cross trainer. Their titles include the 11-volume Ultimate Series Cooking Know-How, selected at the 2010 Paris Cookbook Show as the best cookbook in the world for easy recipes, Ham, An Obsession with the Hindquarter. Gotta say, full disclosure, I have this one at the house. My wife has yet to use it, but hopefully in 2016. Got it, honey. Vegetarian Dinner Parties, The Great Big Pressure Cooker Book, which proved a runaway smash on QVC and landed them at number 4 on the Washington Post bestseller list. And we're going to talk about that book today. They write a monthly column on WeightWatchers.com, contribute regularly to Fine Cooking Magazine and Cooking Light, and have a podcast. We'll talk about that, too. Cooking with Bruce and Mark. Bruce and Mark find their peace in rural New England, sharing their acres with moose, beavers, bears, and two collies named Dreidel and Spritz. We want to hear from you, and tell us what your dog's names are, by all means. 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Do you have a cooking quandary? Need advice for your upcoming holiday party? This is the time to call 800-348-2551. Or you can go to Facebook, facebook.com/WAMC Radio, or tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, or email voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is a good one, 800-348-2551. Bruce, Mark, 28 books in how many years?
The first one was published in 99.
It's unbelievable, you do that, man. Right?
I don't know. I can't figure it out.
Come on. So
I don't know.
Is this one of those franchise series where you're just paying people, hey, look, you write this cookbook.
No. We do.
No.
In our team, I'm the chef. This is Bruce, and I'm the chef, and Mark's the writer.
Yeah, but that's 28 cookbooks.
Yeah, you just don't know how type A we are.
This is what we do for a living.
You don't look that tired.
We don't own a restaurant. We are full-time food writers.
Yep. Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Well, I get paid to do what I love to do, which is cook and play with food.
I got to say, this Great Big Pressure Cooker book, it's amazing. It's been on my desk for about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And last week, I started to thumb through it. And I said, well, this is quite amazing. And we'll get into the specifics in a minute. And I went to the store, one of the big box stores, and I said, I'm going to get one and bring one home. Couldn't find one.
They must have been sold out.
Went to ask, and then I thought, you know, maybe I won't ask for a pressure cooker.
Come on.
I don't want to be on a list.
There are no lists. I've even checked a pressure cooker on a plane to bring as a gift to my mother.
Did that enter your mind, though? This is a pretty new book, 2015.
Did it enter my mind? It did. When I did briefly say to Mark, well, that'll be fun when that goes through X-ray and what they do. It's just a pressure cooker.
They gave us much more problem bringing a fresh ham through. The woman at TSA Security in Hartford looked at a frozen ham in my bag and asked me if it was human. I'm not kidding.
Human ham.
No. She's
was
like,
the piece
she looks,
of meat human?
I'm like, yeah, I had liposuction. I want to carry it with me forever now. I mean, come on.
Wow, that's an interesting question.
And yeah,
the TSA at work. Well done.
It was crazy because then we said, no, it's from our own pig. And she said, are you sure?
Like, why, if it's from Ray's pig, it makes a difference than if it's from my own pig?
Listen, you don't want anything from our pigs. The number to call is 800-348-2551. We're joined by Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough in the new book, or recent book, The Great Big Pressure Cooker Book is out, and it's 500 easy recipes for every machine, both stovetop and electric. And one of the things I learned, I read the introduction word by word today, so I knew a little bit about what I was talking about.
That is how you read, you know, Ray, word by word.
You obviously haven't been around many of my broadcasts. So there are two types, and there's the old school type that my grandmother had that looked like the head of a deformed robot.
Which had a flat lid that sort of went into a round opening and then popped up into place.
Yeah.
You know, if you still own one of those, put it out as an objet, but do not cook in it.
Okay. So those are the kind that all the stories are about.
Those are the kind where there was pea soup all over the ceiling.
Or you get a bay window.
We got
in
a new
your
bay
house.
Window out of it. Those were the kind. Right. The new kind of pressure cookers, whether it's a stovetop or an electric, they all have flanges on the top, so the lid pushes down, turns, and locks in place. And in between the lid and the body on that flange is a rubber gasket.
Yeah.
And all of that are safety precautions. The lid is most likely not going to be able to pop up even if it reaches excess pressure. What will happen then is that rubber gasket between the lid and the bot will push down. and that will push out, leaving a gap, and food will spew out downwards.
So not up and not all over the place.
So it'll go on the stove. If you had a problem, and I've never had a problem, and I probably tested 10,000 recipes in a pressure cooker, it will go down and make a mess on your stove, but the lid will not go up, and you can't explode it into your kitchen with stuff all over your ceiling.
So, and that would be for a stovetop, right?
But
right.
An electric one... have the same features.
But electrics have that same flange and that same rubber gasket. The only difference is you don't put it on your stove. You plug it into your wall.
What do you prefer, by the way? Electric?
We each have a different preference. I like the stovetop ones.
Yeah?
And
why?
Partly it's because they cook faster than electrics because they can get to a higher pressure. They're built to withstand higher pressure.
And
you have to fuss with them a little bit because once you get it to high pressure, you have to monitor the heat under it to keep it at high pressure.
And so
you're always kind of adjusting. I'm turning my heat up. I'm turning my heat down. And if you don't like doing that, if you're the kind of person who really likes to plug and play, then you want to go electric. You can plug it in and you can actually go out and mow the lawn.
That's me.
Okay.
That's me.
Before we get to the why you like electrics, isn't a problem with using a stovetop pressure cooker the wide variety of heat that you get out of an electric stove and the differences between the stoves?
Yeah, well, the thing about an electric stove and a stovetop pressure cooker is that you're not going to lower the heat fast enough. Like when you bring something to a boil and it comes to high pressure, no matter what kind of pressure cooker you use, you have to turn the flame down and get the flame lower. So what we suggest doing if you have an electric stove is you put it on one burner on high to bring it to high pressure. Turn a second burner on low, slide it over.
Makes sense.
All of a sudden, you're on another burner. You should do that technique always when you cook on an electric, even if you're not using a pressure cooker. You want to bring a pot of spaghetti sauce down to a simmer quickly, have a second burner on low, and slide it over.
Okay. I cook with an electric. And
have I just changed your life?
I never thought of that.
Have I just changed your
life? All right, so you guys have done well. You can leave.
There's the door. Thanks.
All right, so, Mark, why do you prefer the electric?
I like the electric because as the writer in our pair, I'm the writer and Bruce is the chef, I don't want to fuss with things. I want to put it on, and I want to plug it into the wall, and I want to screw the lid on. And the electric...
And then he wants to go take a bath.
They have such great... Exactly. They have such great... Or open the bourbon. They have such great... pressure sensors inside, they control the pressure. So you know how that on the stovetop you get that
the steam comes out. You get a little hiss, and that's how you know you're high
pressure.
Pressure
cooker, that will never happen. You rarely get any steam coming out because the pressure monitoring system is so intense. The new generations that are just now coming out of the electric machines are all Bluetoothed to your phone. So you're
okay. You don't need that. I'm sorry. You don't need it.
Check this out. Open the app on your phone. You find the recipe you want. You hit the button. And it starts your machine for you.
Okay, your phone then tells you the pressure inside the machine, the whole thing.
I'm sorry, but that's going to put you guys out of business. So you don't want that.
Oh, I like it.
We supply the manufacturers with the recipes to put in their apps.
Oh, okay. Well, there's that. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Peter in Hatfield, you've been holding. Thanks for waiting. You're on.
Yes, hi. Well, first I would like to mention that there is a way if that rubber gasket does pop. It can definitely go right across the room, right across my kitchen, hitting all kinds of stuff in the way. And, yes, then it does fall to the floor. But that is the one danger, I think, is to make sure that gasket is always in good shape. And mine expanded. You know, the rubber expanded. And I kept trying to push it back in under the ribs of the lid. And I shouldn't have done that.
Bruce is shaking his head. I don't think you should have done that.
No, you shouldn't have done that. And you should always listen to your manufacturer's instructions books, which will tell you how to lightly oil the gasket and how to replace it every few years.
And almost all the manufacturers actually recommend that you replace the gasket. It's like every 18 months or something.
Well, how are you going to do that?
You go to the store and you buy a new one.
See, that's not right.
Okay, you go online and you buy a new one. Look, you don't drive your car without changing the oil.
As far as you know. All right, you had a question, Peter?
I'll keep listening. It's all very interesting. So I actually don't ever buy anything at a store, hardly ever, except a few clothing items. I buy everything at garage sales and tag sales and estate sales and stuff. So I probably have about 10 pressure cookers.
Wow.
And I've been familiar with them since I saw my grandmother using not that kind you just described where the lid can pop up through the opening. But she had, in Vienna, they were using pressure cookers before I think they heard of them on this side of the Atlantic.
Hmm.
But because it's a real, and this is the point, I did read your book. I got it from the library. It's a really good way to save a lot of money. And I'm going to use the example of Thanksgiving, which we just had. So I go over to somebody's house. I carve the turkey. Actually, I debone it mostly. And the bits that nobody should eat, you know, the skin that's not cooked, like crackly, that all goes into a pot. And I brought that home. I got a 12-pound turkey. I got a gallon of stock.
Wow.
I do three boils. I do three boils, which is useful, because the first is a real simmer. I love gas. I couldn't electric. Although, Bruce, you said the thing is... No, Mark, you said the thing is easier to regulate. But you can't get it to the temperature that one wants it that quickly enough, I find. So the gas is good, but it does need, I forgot how you talked about it in your book, but you got to turn down as soon as it gets to the...
High pressure.
Yeah, degree of rocking right. that you kind of want. I usually do, so I'm saying the first boil really should be a simmer. I don't do the first boil of the turkey parts, and because then it comes into, take it out into a sieve, and that's... Depending, and it can stay in the pressure cooker on a very low for quite a time. Goes into a big sieve, and now I'm going to take all the good bits of meat that are still left, and that's going to go into for when there's the first soup.
Hey, Peter, we got to hit a break here. We're a minute overdue, but we appreciate the call. Sounds like you know what you're doing. Good luck with the 20 or 30 pressure cookers, and what a show we have. It is a real pressure cooker of a program. Bruce Weinstein, Mark Scarborough here. It's a Food Friday. More of your calls coming up, 800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from the Stafford Owens Law Firm, advising North Country and Canadian clients in matters of cross-border trade and business law, PlattsburghLawyers.net. Sutter Meats, King Street, Northampton, providing fresh, local, pasture-raised beef, pork, and lamb. Additional house-made items include rotisserie chickens, bone broths, bacon jam, and handmade sausages. SutterMeats.com. Shire City Sanctuary, 10th Annual Holiday Shindy, December 11th to 13th, original regional crafts and artisanal food products, ShireCitySanctuary.com. Mount St. Mary College in Newburgh, offering accredited bachelor degree programs in accounting and business and the MBA in a streamlined format, msmc.edu. And Breadalone Bakery, Kingston, celebrating 32 years of certified organic handcrafted breads with a new space open for breakfast, brunch, lunch, or a late snack on Route 9 West between Kingston and Saugerties, breadalone.com.
It's Vox Pop Food Friday on WAMC. Ray Graff here. Number to call is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by cookbook authors. They've written some 478 cookbooks in the last couple of years. Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough. The new one is the Great Big Pressure Cooker book. And you guys were on QVC a couple times with this thing, huh?
Three visits, three sellouts. It was quite lovely.
That's incredible.
It was crazy.
But pressure cookers are big. People love their pressure cookers.
It is really making a resurgence. You know, like the last caller said, people in Europe knew about them before they did here in the States. And it's true, the average Swiss household has four pressure cookers. But now I think they're making a big comeback in this country.
We've got about 17.
Well, yeah.
You got 17 at the house?
Well, how many do you think I needed to test recipes for this book?
That's a good point. Yeah. And if you're going to write that many cookbooks, you have to have a lot of appliances going all the time. So, you know, I was talking to Jess, our producer, about this, and she knew nothing of pressure cookers. And the only thing I knew was I was frightened of the one my grandmother had. And in looking at this book, there's some amazing things you can cook inside a pressure cooker.
Let me tell you, Ray, the thing that we usually get people in, like the gateway drug to pressure cookers, is risotto.
Why?
Because you can cook risotto without stirring in 7 minutes.
Yep, 7 minutes, no stirring.
But how can you make sure it's not too floppy?
It's not floppy. It's fabulous. You put the rice in, you put dried mushrooms in, no, use fresh, dried. You put the lid on, stock, etc. 7 minutes later,
it's done. Creamy, it's smooth. And look, is it the exact kind of risotto you get if you stirred for 45 minutes? No.
No, but I'm
going
to
be honest.
But stirring 45 minutes leads to bitterness. So I'm not that bitter. So
unless you're paying somebody to do
and
it.
And you can have brilliant risotto. You can make cheesecake in your pressure cooker. And we have recipes for a dozen cheesecakes in the book that a lot of people are like, what? How do you do that? And now when we look at like our Facebook pages and all of our fan sites, the thing people say the most are the cheesecakes.
Really? Now, you guys have a website, right?
A website is bruceandmark.com, and we also have a fabulous cooking podcast called cookingwithbruceandmark.com, and we've done some pressure.
No, there's no .com.
There's no .com. It's just cooking with Bruce and Mark.
That's the podcast, and you can find out at the website, which is Bruce.
Right. Yeah, bruceandmark.com, and the podcast is Cooking with Bruce and Mark.
You can't do cooking on the radio. That's ridiculous.
We do. You need to listen to the podcast.
It's a crazy idea.
We do it.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold it. All right. Let's go to Teresa in Winstead, Connecticut. Teresa.
Hello, guys.
Hello.
You guys know me. I hope I get to see you at the market tomorrow. Anyway, I had an accident with my Cuisinart pressure cooker, and I'm wondering where I went wrong.
It's the electric one, right?
It's the electric one, yes. Programmable. It's wonderful. Oh, my God. I loved it. I'm doing lentils in 15 minutes. I'm doing chicken stock in 20 minutes. I used the heck out of it.
And?
It said I could do a roast in there. So I put the roast in, and I did everything like it said, and all of a sudden, the whole thing stopped working. It wasn't very old. I really used the heck out of it for about a year, but did I just blow it up?
Did you quit heating?
In it?
Yeah, did it stop heating?
You did quit heating and everything.
And then after it cooled down, and when you cooled it down and cleaned it, it wouldn't heat up afterwards?
Yeah, that's not. I must have tried it.
It's not about the recipe. It's not about the roast. It's just a faulty machine.
Yeah, you probably blew your element.
Now, if you lived in California, of course, you just had that wonderful appliance store, but you could bring it back to any store that sells them and get a new one. But we're not in California.
No, we're not.
No.
Decidedly not.
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
No, that wasn't anything you did wrong. That's just a faulty machine.
Just a bad thing. Okay. Yeah. So what I guess I would ask you, can you recommend one? I mean, I don't want to go and buy another Cuisinart and have the same thing happen. It was, a good $110, I think it was, on Amazon or something. Yeah. But
here's what I would say. If you're going to go buy a new pressure cooker, go buy the new generation ones, because the new generation ones are slow cooker, pressure cooker hybrids. So they'll do either.
Oh, wow.
You can set it on a slow cooker setting, or you can set it on a pressure cooker setting.
Or you could set it on a rice cooker setting or a yogurt machine setting.
And those are pretty cool. And honestly, you can get one of those for cheaper, for less than you pay what you just said you paid for your Cuisinart.
Really?
Yeah.
How about the Bluetooth technology one that you were
talking about? Those are more expensive.
Up through the roof.
Can I run it from far away?
It's not Wi-Fi.
They're claiming that the next generation after these are going to be Wi-Fi, not just Bluetooth. But far,
but you don't want to do that anyway, because that means you're putting raw food in the cooker and leaving the house and then doing it later.
But it's good for a slow cooker function.
So you should just look for a 3-in-1, and that'll make you happy.
Yep.
A 3-in-1.
Yep.
So what's the three?
The three is slow cooker.
Slow
cooker, pressure cooker, rice cooker.
Okay. Very good.
Thanks, Teresa.
Thank you.
Bye now. 1-800-348-2551. Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough are here, and the Great Big Pressure Cooker book is the book we are discussing today on Food Friday. Let's go over to Kathy in Saratoga. Kathy.
Yeah. A few things. How big is that Great Big Pressure Cooker book?
The book is...
Oh, it's a big book.
You mean how many pages or how many recipes?
It's 510 pages.
It's about 12 pounds.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a doorstop.
I've used a pressure cooker for 45 years on the stove, the regular type with the little thingy you put on the top.
Yep.
I love my pressure cooker. And I just worry, it seems like people are scared of pressure cookers.
They are.
They are.
Yeah.
And pressure cookers are absolutely wonderful. Not only are they wonderful, but I wonder, in your book, do you talk at all about pressure canners?
No, we do not deal with pressure canning. We just deal with dinner or breakfast or dessert. The pressure canning is a completely different process. And when we
kind of. I mean, I have a pressure canner, and I have a garden. And
I pressure can
all my spaghetti sauce.
Right. Here's what you could do. You can make the spaghetti sauce in the pressure cooker and then bottle it in your pressure canner.
That's right, I can.
Well, there it is.
All right. Well, we've settled that. Thank you.
Well, you know, I would just encourage people to go ahead and try pressure cooking. I think people are shy about it, but...
Yeah, it's really safe, and it's really fantastic.
Your nutrients are saved. Your time is saved.
Yeah,
and
right.
And I'm interested to look at your book because I like those tools.
Well, so if you're watching online, I'll hold it up for the camera. It's WAMC.org.
I'm driving in the car. I shouldn't be talking.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to do that, Kathy. Thanks for calling. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
So, you know, one of the things, right, that we love to say, the difference, people always ask, when we wrote the pressure cooker book, oh, is that like a crock pot? And there are people who don't realize there's a difference between a slow cooker and a pressure cooker.
This is a fast cooker.
Slow cookers cook all day at a very low temperature. And as Mark always said, you have to think about what you want to make today, yesterday, because you got to get the ingredients the night before. With a pressure cooker, you can make that same beef stew or the same oxtail ragu that you took all day, and you can make it that night. On your way home from work, you could stop in the supermarket and say, chuck roast.
There's a pork shoulder stew on our website that Bruce created recently, this kind of a peanut pork stew.
Nice.
It's kind of African-ish with big warming spices in it, et cetera. Anyway, pork shoulder, and what is that, 40 minutes?
40 minutes.
That's incredible.
Pulled pork in 40 minutes.
So how does... Now, I know how the slow cooker works, and I tell you what, it's very handy if you have... two working people in a household, you set it, and you come back, and it's made, and it's great for chili and things like that. What's the science behind it? How does a pressure cooker actually work so fast?
Think about water boiling at 212 degrees at sea level, right? So now you put this lid on that locks into place, and you're going to, as the water boils, as your liquid boils, steam builds up, and it can't go anywhere, so the pressure starts to build. And as pressure builds, temperature goes up. So now
Remember high school physics?
Look, I'm in radio. Okay.
Now all of a sudden you're cooking that pork shoulder not at 212 degrees. You're cooking it at 275, 300, 325. You're cooking it at a super high temperature under pressure to break down all those tissues and all that collagen and all that other stuff. So you have a soft, tender meat in 70% less time.
And people often ask, why isn't the meat squished then? Like if it's
from
pressure, right?
From pressure, sure.
And that's because in a closed environment, the pressure is applied equally on all sides.
Brilliant. So if I were cooking on Jupiter, it would be fine.
No, you'd end up with a diamond, I think.
It would be so much pressure.
You put the piece of pot roast in, you get like a diamond.
Now, see, if you guys could come up with a pressure cooker that made diamonds, then you really have something for QVC. Or even cubic zirconia for QVC. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Is there anything that you cannot cook?
Yeah, you don't want to do highly sugary, foamy things. Like, I thought it would be a great thing to try and make jam in the pressure cooker.
All right.
So when we were testing recipes, I put a ton of sugar and a ton of fresh strawberries, and I covered it. And if you've ever made jam, you know it foams up a lot. And, well, we had a little problem.
Okay.
Right out of the steam vent at the top, I had a little volcano. Top didn't blow, but out of that little valve came a volcano of hot strawberry syrup sugar. You don't want to do...
No. Could you make a lesser amount and try it again?
No, because it's a foamy, sugary nightmare.
And let me tell you, when that happens, you go through a bottle of 401, 409.
Yeah.
I know.
Just buy a new one, right?
Well,
here's the thing. One of the things in your introduction that I thought was interesting was you caution everyone who cooks in a pressure cooker to follow the instructions regarding salt. Explain why.
Regarding salt?
Yeah.
Well, because the salt is culinary napalm, because salt will absolutely override a dish, especially in a pressure cooker. And because you don't have evaporation and long time evaporation in a pressure cooker like you would in the oven, that salt doesn't have a chance to morph into other flavors, and it'll just be big. So we advocate using low sodium broth and low sodium tomatoes, all that stuff. Add the salt on your own later.
Okay. But if you use low sodium ingredients, will it come out tasting normal? We like salt.
Can always add salt after. You know, it's funny. I just edited a podcast that's going up next week for us, the Cooking with Bruce and Mark. And one of the things we said in that podcast is about salt in canned products like stock and tomatoes.
Yeah.
And people tend to stay away from the low sodium versions because they think, it's health food and I don't want it. We want people to use those because you actually get a better culinary result.
Huh.
Salt-free canned tomatoes and stock taste better. You know, when they dump salt into the manufacturer, part of it is to hide a bad quality. And
inferior ingredients.
Inferior ingredients, and then the flavor is salt. And this way, if you buy low-sodium canned tomatoes, you're probably getting a better-tasting tomato.
Very interesting. We're joined today by Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough, and let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Ron in Pleasant Valley. Ron.
Hey, how you doing? I'm glad that you guys are on today. It's a great, great, great program.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question. I wanted to make spaghetti and meatballs in the pressure cooker, and we saw the Power Pressure XL on TV,
yeah,
and they made the spaghetti and meatballs, frozen meatballs, and I was just excited. So we have a Wolfgang Puck one that sat for a year and a half, and I finally used it Wednesday night. And the first page, do not cook pasta in this pressure cooker.
Well, I'm not sure about your pressure cooker, Ron, but I can tell you that in the pressure cookers I tested recipes for the book, I made pasta all the time. In fact, pasta in the pressure cooker was one of the things that surprised us and fascinated me, and I got addicted to. You can basically build the sauce in the pressure cooker, as in with lid off, you're building a little tomato sauce, or my favorite, yep, we do a Chinese style pork and Szechuan sauce. Then you put the raw pasta into that sauce, cover it, and the pasta cooks in that sauce in 5 minutes.
One of the problems, Ron, with putting pasta in a pressure cooker is it foams, and that foaming can clog the vents and clog the pressure release vents, and then you're going to have a problem. And the solution to that is actually to add fat to the cooking.
Hope you like that.
Yeah, well, see, there you go. So if you put, for example, if you put the raw pasta in and your pasta sauce is a jarred sauce, let's say you just dump raw pasta and jarred marinara sauce, it may not have any fat in it. But if you build a sauce or if you use the jarred sauce, you're going to add extra olive oil. Or butter or whatever you like.
Lard,
and that little bit of fat actually breaks the surface tension on the foaming from the pasta.
I mean, that fat thing is a trick used for foaming all the time when you're making jams and jellies on the stove. You always put a tiny bit, or as the British say, a knob of butter in there, and it keeps the foaming down.
Right.
Well, the sauce that we use is our spaghetti sauce. We have like 120 quarts that we made, you know, between last year and this year.
Wow.
So what you're saying is I put the spaghetti in first, pour the jar of sauce, I put 35 frozen meatballs on top.
Great. And now
But you have to make sure that you have enough liquid for the pasta to cook. All the recipes in our book were formulated so that there's enough liquid to cook the pasta and still have sauce.
I mean, you may have to experiment with this a little.
Because if you just open your sauce and put the pasta may absorb it all, and then there's no sauce left. So.
And now add a little olive oil to your pot.
Okay.
And that
the meatballs came out great on Wednesday, so I definitely want to use this again. Is your book on Amazon?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's called The Great Big Pressure Cooker Book, and thank you, Ron. 1-800-348-2551. Sandy in Cooperstown. Sandy, you're on with Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough.
Gentlemen, I keep hearing you talk about pressure cooker fear. I can probably explain that if you want to know.
If it's fairly brief.
I'll make it very brief. Okay. I worked on the legal team that did the pressure cooker explosion cases against National Presto.
There you go.
The National Presto made artillery shells in Vietnam. The war was winding down. They're freaking out. They're going to lose all their business. They bought $11 million, back then was a lot, factory foundry machines from England to make new, they want to go back to making kitchen aluminum. Yeah. And they were making pressure cookers their first year and found that the foundry equipment was bad. It started a huge lawsuit from National Presto, but they made thousands of bad pressure cookers. Packaged them, boxed them, put them in the warehouse. They had their lawsuit. They won that the foundry equipment was bad, and they made bad pots. They never destroyed the pots. They put them in the back of the warehouse. They sat for a decade or two, and then they switched accounting systems from LIFO to FIFO. They were just last in, first out. So whatever they just made, they were shipping. And then one day they changed their accounting principles, and they went into the oldest stuff got sold. So they went to the back of the warehouse.
And they sold the bad cookers.
And sold them one Christmas.
Amazing.
So hundreds of them were blowing up on people.
Wow.
The handle would burst off.
Well, that is why we definitely say if you're going to buy a new pressure cooker, get a new one. Definitely buy a new one.
I mean, people write us on the website all the time, and they talk about, you know, oh, I got this pressure cooker from my grandmother or whatever, and I always respond back, Buy a new one. Buy a new one right now. Like, don't think about it. Don't.
The only ones that will blow up are National Presto, thick wall aluminum pots are the only ones that blew up. And it was when you put them in the cold cycle, you put them in the sink with cold water to bring down the temperature fast, the handle would break off and the contents of the pot would shoot out at you through the hole.
Now, they weren't made out of they weren't made out of depleted uranium or anything.
No. They just had too much air in the aluminum and it was porous. It would break easily at the handle point.
Wow. Go ahead.
That's all.
All right.
So tell people not to get old pots, and definitely not old pressures from National Presto.
Okay.
And our legal department thanks you. I hope you're correct, Sandy. We appreciate it very much.
So, Ray, that last caller was talking about spaghetti and meatballs.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that, you know, we have recipes for pasta meatballs in the book, but also Mark and I just have a new pressure cooker video class up online.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No. We shot this a few months ago, and it just went live last week at craftsy.com.
Spell it?
C-R-A-F-T-S-Y.
Okay.
Craftsy.com.
And there's a video,
It's a cooking class video called Making the Most of Your Pressure Cooker, and in those series of classes, Mark shows always how to use the electric, and I show how to use the stovetop.
Oh,
and I do actually a ziti and meatball casserole in that class.
All right, we'll take a break here. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Back with the home stretch with Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough, and your calls at 800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from Cafe Capriccio, offering dining and catering with Tuscan cuisine in Albany, New York, and Neapolitan cuisine in Saratoga Springs. CafeCapriccio.com for reservations. Hudson Wine Merchants, a wine and spirits boutique in the heart of Hudson, New York, offering selections for holiday meals, gifts, and everyday wines. Curbside service and delivery available. Raise your glass. HudsonWines.com. And Rensselaer County Historical Society and the Van Rensselaer Garden Club presents The Roaring Twenties at the 59th Holiday Green Show in the Hart Clewitt House on 2nd Street in Troy. Through Sunday, rchsonline.org, I love New York. And Bread and Butter, newly opened restaurant in North Amherst Mill District, offering breakfast and lunch daily from traditional staples to chef specialties such as duck confit hash and maple sriracha pork belly. BreadandButterAmherst.com.
Vox Pop Food Friday on WAMC. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough are here. The Great Big Pressure Cooker book is the book. And over to line four, Greg in Shutesbury, Mass. You're on, Greg.
Hey, gentlemen, good afternoon. What a great show. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
I don't want to burden our host with obfuscation of facts, but I definitely want to inquire with you guys about the energy efficiency. I mean, obviously, if you're cooking things faster, that's great. We used to bring these on camping trips where we were just looking to boil water faster with limited resources.
It's a very good question. I think you guys have an answer in your book.
I mean, are we all missing the point here that this is also a national energy question?
Well, it is kind of an energy question because you do use about 70% less energy on an electric stove versus cooking stovetop on the electric stove. Gas, it's a little different, but it's about 70%. So
what is the gas? The gas is of interest to me because
it's actually out
of the house cooking method.
You're generally at about a 55% saving.
That's still look at it this way. If you're going to put a flame under a pork shoulder to make pulled pork, and you're going to have that stove on for 2 hours, wouldn't you rather just have your stove on for 50 minutes?
You're at my idea.
Yeah, so that's...
Well, where's the DOE in all this, and can you get your money's worth out of your efforts before they stick their fingers in your forks?
that's a loaded question, Greg, and I think we'll have to do that one on another show. But thanks a lot.
All right, you guys are great.
Yeah, have a great weekend. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Let's go to Albert in Lakeville, Connecticut. Albert, you're on.
Oh, hi. This is a great show. The last time I called in to talk about pressure cooking, Alan Shartok, who I think is afraid of them, pretty much threw me off the air.
I'm afraid of them, too, but I'm going to buy one now. I've been looking at them online.
Yeah, but you're taking our book home, too.
Exactly. To be put away and never see you again. All right.
They're wonderful.
Do you have a question?
You haven't covered the cooking of dried beans, I believe, which is what I do mostly with mine. Turtle beans, chickpeas, kidney beans, pinto beans. 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And they're done. No soaking. It enhances the flavor, I believe, of beans. And it's a wonderful way to do a quick bean dish if you're a vegetarian.
Albert, I'll tell you.
I actually think it gets I actually think the beans have a little better texture if they're larger beans, like the big cannellinis and that kind of thing, if you soak them. But like the smaller navy beans and all, you don't even need to soak
them. No, and other beans like black-eyed peas, they cook in 5 minutes without soaking.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
oh,
they're amazing. Well, there's a great recipe in our book for a black-eyed pea stew with butter and turmeric and ginger. Oh. It's 5 minutes, and it's this most amazing sort of Indian-inspired beanie side dish.
Well, it's great. That's great. It's a wonderful appliance. We love ours. It's a newer Spanish model, I believe. They're much quieter. There's no weight. There's a dial for different pressures.
Yeah.
It's very easy to use. And I'm interested in these three-in-one ones you were mentioning.
Well, if your stovetop version is the Fagor, which is probably the one you're talking about, that's the Spanish, they also make an electric three-in-one. In fact, they just came out with one that's like a five-in-one.
Five-in-one? Was it a washer car?
Maybe.
All right. Well, hey, Albert, thanks a lot for the call.
Oh, great. Thanks for the show.
Have a good weekend. You know, there are so many of these online, so many different brands.
There are. And everyone always says, what's your favorite? And I have different favorites for different reasons. I mean, it's...
But if you want to know about these machines even more, besides our book and our podcast and all that stuff, if you're on Facebook, go out to any of these manufacturers' Facebook pages like Instapot and Fagor. You can't believe it. There are hundreds of thousands of people who share recipes in these Facebook groups.
Are they stealing your recipes?
No. Actually, we're in those groups. We're posting recipes too.
Yeah, we offer recipes in those groups. And
if they're not paying you, don't give up recipes. All right, let's go to Allison in Norfolk, Connecticut. Allison.
Oh, hi. What a wonderful program this is.
Thank you.
I think I've more or less been convinced that what I need to do is to get myself a pressure cooker.
Well, all right.
And every year, the day after Christmas, I have about 40 friends in for lunch. And I'm just wondering if there's something that I can prepare in the pressure cooker and put in the freezer. Do you have any recipes like that in your book?
Well, Allison, let me tell you that if you want to cook for 40 people, you're going to have to make multiple batches in your pressure cooker.
Or get more than one pressure cooker.
Well, you can get more than one, because if you use a 6-quart cooker, you know, you'll make a pot of stew or a soup or a bœuf bourguignon or a chili, and it'll serve 8 people if you have other things to eat, so you're going to need to make 4 or 5 of them. But you can easily freeze almost anything that you make in the pressure cooker. Absolutely.
There's a recipe in the pressure cooker book for what we call French onion soup chicken thighs. And basically, it's basically poaching chicken thighs in a traditional beef broth. Traditional beef broth French onion soup. Oh,
with caramelized onions.
And it is such a fine dish. And I know so many people have told me that it freezes exceptionally well.
And the recipe calls for grated Gruyere to be served on top. So you don't put the cheese on top till after you thaw it and then reheat it all.
Yep.
And I've had some of your books before, and I think they're wonderful because they give different quantities for different numbers. Do you do that in this new book?
No, the new book is for one size cooker only.
Okay.
Everything is for a 6-quart cooker.
Okay.
And so everything will end up feeding 4 to 8 people, depending upon the recipe.
At this moment, the 6-quart is considered the industry standard.
Okay.
So.
Wonderful.
They do have bigger ones?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Allison, thanks a lot for the call. Have a good weekend. Jennifer in Nassau. Jennifer, you're on with Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough.
Hi, thank you. I just got a pressure cooker canner this summer, and it said don't cook rice in it.
Don't cook rice.
Just like it says, don't cook pasta. And I was wondering if I could do the same thing as you told the guy who called about the pasta.
Well,
if I put fat in there?
Well, I don't know this particular model you're talking about, and perhaps there is something in the way it was designed and the way the venting system is designed where you can't do pasta or rice in it. I'm not familiar with that. I mean, every model I've ever tried, every brand I've tried has never said to avoid rice or pasta.
Does it, Jennifer, does it say rice of all sorts or does it say brown rice or white rice?
It just said rice. It's an all-American gasketless cast aluminum.
No clue.
I don't have an answer for
you. I can tell you that we've cooked a lot of whole grains in pressure cookers, you know, like wheat berries, rye berries, spelt berries, stuff like that. And again, the fat trick works with the whole grains to keep the foaming down. But you have to work with smaller quantities, and you have to add a little fat. You can't fill up a pressure cooker to the max fill line with whole grains and think it's not going to spew out.
And the other trick with whole grains, which tend to foam up, and beans, which tend to foam up, is always do a natural release. And, Ray, what we mean by that is after you're done cooking, you just turn the machine off or turn the heat off and let it cool down on its own. You don't open the valve and let the steam spew out, which you can do with other recipes.
So it's like a radiator to some extent. If you open a hot radiator, it's
steam,
not necessarily
steam
a good
will
thing.
Spew out, and that's okay if the recipe says to do that. But if you let the steam spew out after cooking foamy things, you're in trouble.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks a lot for the call. Bye. You know, one of the points that I get here from reading the introduction to this book is follow the manufacturer's instructions. Very important.
Always a good idea.
Always.
And so don't go over that fill line. I mean, you guys say that
never.
A couple of times. Never.
It's there for a reason.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's not some imaginary line, and they all have them in different places. I have some brands with the fill lines almost at the top.
Yeah.
And I have some brands where the fill line's halfway to the bottom. The way that machine is made, it will not handle pressure well if you go over that fill line,
because,
and you can have trouble.
Because the ingredients are expanding in there, right? I mean, that pressure, that broth or the soup or whatever is expanding out. So you've got to really watch that max fill line. It's like gospel.
Now, you guys like chili?
Love chili.
So we love chili in my house, and very often we will do it in a slow cooker.
In a slow cooker, right.
How does it taste in a pressure cooker?
Here's the thing about a slow cooker versus a pressure cooker. The slow cooker, because you're cooking all day, and we know this because we wrote a best-selling slow cooker book too, flavors tend to meld into a more of a monotone flavor. So like if you put oregano and thyme and chili powder and garlic, you're not going to taste each of those separately
in
a slow
cooker. I've always said that a slow cooker is like melting a box of 64 crayons. It's always brown.
So you only
melt them all, you always end up with brown.
So you only put in the yellow family or the red family.
Oh, very
but in a pressure cooker, because things cook even faster than they do with normal cooking, flavors stay bright, herbs stay individual flavors. So chili in a pressure cooker actually tastes brighter and fresher than in a slow cooker.
Okay, but to some extent, and at times, you do want flavors to meld. I mean, we always find chilies better the second day.
I do too,
as well
as lasagna and spaghetti sauces, all of that.
Yeah. You do want the flavors to meld. But I just find that the pressure cooker keeps the flavors brighter and more exacting throughout.
All right. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Pam in Woodstock. Hi, Pam.
Hi, how are you?
Good, you're on.
I've been cooking in pressure cookers since 1967.
Wow.
And I've been vegan since then. I owned a vegan restaurant for 10 years, so we use a lot of pressure cookers there.
Wow.
So I've been listening to some of the comments of that people are making, and I would say that I cook rice in it constantly. If I have a product like some beans, like if I want to cook lentils in it, which are foamy, or anything that is foamy, even jam I've done this with, is that I let it come to a boil, I let it cook for maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes and skim off the foam, and then eventually it stops foaming. Then I put the lid back on.
Oh, you do that without the lid on?
Oh, that's a very clever idea.
I don't put the lid on right away, right?
Yeah, you partially cook it without the lid, and then you skim the foam.
8 minutes or so. Yeah. Eventually it stops foaming, and then I put the lid on.
That's nice. That's a nice technique.
So these guys were saying that jam was problematic for them, so you have solved that, Pam.
By not putting the lid on right away,
Nice. That's very nice.
I've just thrown about everything in there. I think it's my microwave, because I don't use microwaves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can just throw vegetables and herbs and whatever you want in there and have a lovely cream of vegetable soup.
I'm a big whole grain lover, and so I would rather have brown rice than white rice.
Oh, me too.
Because it's just me. And the whole idea that I can make brown rice in 25 minutes is just seems to me almost a miracle.
And Pam, let me tell you.
One thing I don't agree with, though, actually, is chickpeas really need to take time in the pressure cooker. And once you've eaten pressure cooked beans, you just can't go back to those canned things.
Well, I want to respond to two things. Chickpeas in the pressure cooker are amazing, but one of the things I like to do with them, Pam, is to actually slightly undercook them just enough so that when I take them out, I could take the skins off. And if you do them just a
you're
few...
You're speaking of raw chickpeas.
Yeah, you're sort of raw. That if you start with raw dry chickpeas and you cook them in the pressure cooker and you just go, you know, 1 minute less than you think you need to, you can then rinse them in a colander and rub them with your hands and the skins will come off and it makes the smoothest, creamiest hummus you've ever had. But you also mentioned that you like to make vegetable soups in here. There's a technique that we have in our Great Big Pressure Cooker book for vegetable soup where you put butter in the cooker with a little baking soda. And the baking soda changes the pH. And so the butter, you can actually poach vegetables in the butter without the butter burning. And so you could do cauliflower and sweet potato, and you have a cream soup that's sweet and creamy and buttery without the butter burning.
What if you're a vegan? Pam's a vegan.
Well, we
have vegan butter, or how would olive oil work? Because I put olive oil in.
Then you don't need this trick.
But with the trick in the pressure cooker of dropping the pH with baking soda, you can actually, this isn't for a vegan, of course, but you can actually poach vegetables, braise them in butter without the butter solids burning.
Let me ask you a question about that. I've always heard, I've heard that some people put baking soda in their beans and
To help stop the foaming.
Bad thing about that is that it takes the vitamin B out of the beans.
I don't know about that.
We're not nutritionists, so I'm not aware of that happening. But yes, it can help stop some of the foaming.
Well, that's a very interesting thing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I'm going to have to get your book now. Have you ever heard of Lorna Sass?
Yes, she's a friend.
Lorna
yes,
Sass.
We like
yeah,
Lorna.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, you know, I mean, her cookbook is like great.
Yeah, she is. She's great.
Pam, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go over to Nancy and Ravina. Nancy, you're on.
Hey, Ray. I got a recipe years ago from the trombone player's wife with Duke Ellington.
Oh, boy.
And every time we went out with those gals, they had all these wild recipes, but they didn't use pressure cookers, and all of a sudden, one showed up. And it was because I made a lasagna, and I put the pasta in and forgot it and cooked it. And I thought, oh, my God, this is going to be a mess. But when I opened it up, it was almost done. So I just put it on the pressure cooker for just a few minutes. Just perfect. But what I want to know is how do you guys get the Chinese textured rice that you get in a Chinese restaurant, not gummy and not under, you know how their rice is. It's different.
Okay, that's a great question and probably be our last one here on the program, go ahead.
The first thing is to make sure you're using the proper kind of rice. If you use a short grain rice, you know, a short grain rice is stickier, and it's not short because it's in size. It's short because it's short in amylopectin, which is a protein, and when you're short on that, you're stickier. So you want to make sure you use a long grain rice, which is high in amylopectin, and will keep the rice separate and fluffy.
So like basmati,
jasmine. Those are all wonderful long grain rices, which will stay light and fluffy.
And Nancy, thank you. Appreciate
you can
call.
Do that with brown or white.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, so we're just about out of time. What's next? What are you working on now?
We have a book coming out.
We do.
In June. We
have a book out in June that is called A La Mode. It's the 60 desserts with the 60 ice creams that have to go on them. And you haven't lived until you've had a peanut brittle tart with popcorn ice cream. Let me just say, it's like a Cracker Jack nightmare. It's like Bridgework nightmare.
Ray, when we see you to talk about that, I'll bring you that.
Okay, and then there was another one that you're working on with some space-age science involved.
Yeah, this book comes out next November. It's called the Turbo Blender Dessert Revolution book. And you know, turbo blenders like Vitamix and Blendtec and Waring Extremes, they have 3 to 4 horsepower motors, and the blades spin so fast
you can cut your grass with them.
That the friction can heat up milk and sugar and eggs and chocolate to the setting point of custard. So you can make puddings and custards and cream pies without cooking.
Okay, now, I mean, what did you have a couple of drinks, and then you said, let's try this? Actually, how'd you come up with it?
Actually, we were on QVC, and I watched them grind flour from wheat berries in one of these mixers, in one of these blenders. And I said to Bruce, wait, how come you couldn't, now that you've ground the flour, just add chocolate and sugar and butter and have brownie batter? He went, how many tried it? We had brownie batter with whole grains.
Genius. All right. Well, thanks to Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough for being here. The Great Big Pressure Cooker Book is the book. And thanks to everybody who called in. Support comes from the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, announcing their updated website with more information about membership, grants, and loans so our past has a future. PreserveNYS.org. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. And Burnt Hills Oratorio Society, presenting Hody by Vaughan Williams and Britain's Ceremony of Carols, Saturday, December 5th at 3 p.m. Grace Chapel, Clifton Park, bhos.us. Well, thanks a lot for being here, everybody. Have a great weekend. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Barb King took your calls. Jessica Blaustein Marshall is our producer. I'm Ray Graff. Alan will be back in the host chair on Monday for a Medical Monday. Till then, have a great weekend.